Tonight's shiur is on Parshas Pinchas. It's on revenge on Midian. So we're going to look at Pinchas's perfection a little bit deeper, try to figure out what exactly he did that warranted a great reward and that the Torah mentions in order to demonstrate his perfection. So I wanted to look at some of the early psukim in the Parsha. So we'll start with source number one. It's the very beginning of the Parsha. It says, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. So Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen Yeshivas Chamasi Me'al b'nei Yisrael b'kanoes kinasi b'socham lo chilisi es b'nei Yisrael b'kinasi. So the Torah says that Hashem mentions to Moshe that Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron, he caused the anger of Hashem to be returned, I guess, from b'nei Yisrael b'kanoes kinasi b'socham. So I'm not really going to define it. The English, I think, means passion, by being passionate on my part. And as a result, I haven't destroyed B'nai Yisrael in my kinah. Okay, so the Torah mentions, hold on, there's somebody has to put on their mute button. Oh, okay, there we go. So the Torah mentions that Pinchas, the idea of Pinchas, the perfection of Pinchas, is that He ended up restraining God's kinah, and instead he executed God's kinah, kinasi, because that's what the pasuk says, Mel b'nei Yisrael b'kanos kinasi b'socham, and as a result, Klal Yisrael were not destroyed as a result of Hashem's kinah. L'chein amor hinino sein lo es b'risi shalom. And therefore, Hashem says, I'm going to give him this treaty of peace. And as a result of Pinchas's greatness, he was given kahuna, whether it's kahuna or kohen gadol, and it would pass through his generations because of tachas asher kinei lelokav, because he was mekane for Hashem and caused atonement kapara for Bnei Yisrael. So if you haven't noticed, I keep emphasizing the same word, which is mentioned many times in the psukim. It says kina a lot. So if you look in Yud Aleph, it says bekano es kinasi besocham. So the perfection of Pinchas is that he basically, in place of God, he demonstrated God's kina, and in that way he prevented God's real kina from emerging. And then it says that he got the kahuna, the reward, because tachas asher kinei lelokav. So the question that we're going to take up is, what exactly is this kinah that the Torah is talking about? And if we understand the kinah, then maybe we can understand to a deeper degree what exactly Pinchas was demonstrating in his action of destroying these evil people, destroying Zimri and Cosby, and we can understand why he was rewarded in the way he was rewarded. So basically the question is, what is this kinah? What exactly did Pinchas do that was so great? So if you look at Rashi, so we're looking at the Mefarshim. If you look at Rashi, he says, Bekano es kinasi, in source number two, Vinokmo es nikmasi. So Rashi's definition of kina is vengeance, revenge. Hence the title, Revenge on Midian. And the idea is that instead of God taking revenge on the Jewish people for doing Avodah Zarah and for following and for being with Midian, the Minyanim, the women, so instead, Pinchas took the revenge of God. So that's what it means, b'kinasi. Instead of God's revenge, Pinchas took revenge on the part of or for God. B'kitzvo es haketzev shehayali liktof. So the anger that Hashem was going to bestow upon Klal Yisrael, so this was taken care of with regard to Pinchas. So another question is, how did that work also? I mean, the fact that Pinchas ends up killing Cosby and Zimri, how does it work that it's a reflection of God's kinah, of God's nekama? And furthermore, why did it protect Klal Yisrael? And then it keeps going. It says, Kol lashon kinah hamischar linkom nikmas davar in pranim bat balas. So anytime the Torah uses kinah, it means to take revenge. And it means that the Torah is referring to taking revenge on the part of God, or taking revenge in general. So the word kinah, according to Rashi, means revenge. So we have to understand, what exactly is the nekama here? Why is nekama such a key component in this situation? But it seems like the chiddush over here is that Pinchas took the revenge of Hashem. So it seems kind of simple, thus far, but we'll see as we go through the Mefarshim that Rashi kind of gives a different idea of kinah, and we're going to have to put it together to understand what exactly Pinchas was demonstrating. So if you look at the Ibn Ezra, he has a similar definition of kinah, but he mentions something else that I think we'll use in order to understand what Rashi's referring to. So look at source number 3. The Ibn Ezra says, "Bekano kal hanun lahakel al lashon." So he says that the nun doesn't have a dagesh in order not to be enunciated, emphasized. "Vatam kihu kana mikomi." So he was zealous in my place, for my place. "The chasav al Hashem kihu kel kana." And it says with regard to Hashem, it uses the term kel kana, God who is zealous or jealous, depending on how you interpret the word. But it says kel kana. "Bavodazara." So it refers to God as a kel kana, which is the word that's mentioned in the Psukim by Pinchas consistently over here in source number 1. It says that in the Aseret HaDibros, when it's referring to God in reference to Avodah Zarah, "Vilule hu shekine hayisi mechalas Yisrael bedavar bekin asi." So if not for the fact that Pinchas was mekane for Hashem, so all the Jews would have been destroyed. Klal Yisrael would have been destroyed as a result of God's kina. So again, let's just try to understand, what does Kel Kana mean? What exactly is the term Kana? And furthermore, how did Pinchas prevent the Kina of God? In what way did he represent the Kina of Hashem? And again, we'll try to understand what it means deeper, on a deeper level. So there's a problem, because if you look in the source number 4, and this is why I brought in the Ibn Ezra partially, because he quotes the Pasuk where it talks about Kel Kana, and that is the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu that apparently Pinchas is really reflecting or representing in his destruction of Cosby and Zimri. So if you look in source number 4, it says, "L'shishtachve lahem b'losa avdim, ki anuchi Hashem lokecha, kel kana poked avon avos avanim, al shilishim v'aribim l'so na'ai." So in the Aseret HaDibros, it says that you should not bow down or worship idols, because I, Hashem, am a kel kana, and I visit iniquities upon the fathers and the children, 3 and 4 generations, of course, if they follow in the ways of the father. So basically, the Torah is saying that with regard to Avodah Zarah, Hashem is a Kel Kana, and we see the term of Kine in reference to Avodah Zarah. But Rashi over there, he gives a different definition of Kana. Look in source number 5. Rashi says, "Kel Kana, Mekane Lipara Ve'eni Over Almidasi Limchol Al Avodah Zarah." So he says that he's zealous in punishing when it comes to Avodah Zarah, and he's not going to be over on his midos. He's not going to be passive, and he's not going to be mochel on Avodah Zarah. If you do Avodah Zarah, God is going to destroy you. And it says, "V'chol lashon kina on parambat balaz." So it's the same lashon as before. So Rashi is consistent. "No sein lev lipara." But he says what it means is to be exacting in your justice, to be measured in your justice, in your punishment. So Rashi contradicts himself, because if you look before, look in source number 2. He uses the same la'az word, and he says, "Kol lashon kina hamischara linkom nikmas davar." So the word kina is a reference to vengeance. But if you look in source number 5, he says, "V'chol lashon kina," and he uses the same word, "no sein leiv lipara." It means to be exacting and specific in the way in which you punish. So the question is, which one is it? What is the term kana? And what is it referring to? Because it's not really clear from Rashi. He's giving 2 different explanations, but he's using the same la'az word to explain the concept. So what exactly is the concept? And furthermore, if we understand it, can we try to gain some knowledge, some insight into Pinchas over here? So those are the questions. So are there any other questions before we move on? We're going to get to the idea. But any other questions? I just want to stop here. And hopefully it's clear, the questions that I'm raising. Are there any questions on the questions themselves, or any? Okay, good. All right, so if you look in source number 6, the Ramban, he just points out something interesting, which we'll also have to explain. But he says, on the Aseret HaDibros, "Ki anochi Hashem Elokecha levadi," so I alone am the God, "ve'ein roi she'tishatef imi achirim," and it shouldn't be that there are other gods with me. So that's a reference to Avodah Zarah. "Vanochi kel," and I am a kel, takif means powerful, sheyesh lekel yadi, "the kana," kel kana, "sheekne v'nosin kibodi la'acher usihilasi lepsilim." So Hashem is going to be zealous, and if you give kavod, if you give respect to another existence, to an idol, or if you give praise to psilim, so in that situation of avodah zarah, that's when the midah of kel kana comes out. Lo nimsa v'kasa v'shum makom sheyavo lasham kina b'shem hanichbad rak be'inyan avodah zarah bilvad. So the only time the word kina is used with regard to God is in reference to avodah zarah. The Amar Harav b'mora nevuchem. So the Rambam says shelo timsa b'chol haTorah v'chol sifrei neviim lashon charon af v'lo lashon kaas v'lo lashon kina ela be'inyan avodah zarah bilvad. So the Rambam says, according to the Ramban, that the Torah never uses the word charonaf, kaas, or kina, only by avodah zarah. But v'ine b'kedoshe elyon v'yichar af Hashem b'moshe v'yichar af Hashem b'am v'yilach v'chasav charap yibach uvishnei reyacha kilo dibartem elai nechona ke'avde iov. So the Ramban says, you see that the words charonaf and kaas are used in other places, aval b'lashon kina emesu. But he agrees with the Rambam, and he says the word kina is only used by avodah zarah. V'chach amru b'mechilta v'kina ani nifram avodah zarah aval nichanun v'rachu midvar machirim. So he says in the Mechilta, quotes the Mechilta, that kina, with kina, I will repay or punish those who do avodah zarah, but with other sins, I'll be more merciful. So kina is the antithesis of mercy, according to the Ramban. But it's an interesting point. The Ramban says that kina is only used in the framework of avodah zarah, and by other averos in the Torah, other instances, it's never used. The Rambam says even vayichar and also kaas, but according to the Ramban, the Ramban says it's kina, that kina is only used by avodah zarah. So, if we go back to our story with Pinchas, it says that Pinchas was reflecting or expressing the kina HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's a kanai shpogimbo. So he was mekane on the for God. And we know that God's kina is expressed, the midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressed in avodah zarah situations. So is there an avodah zarah situation in our parsha? And of course there is. So I just want to bring in the facts. Look in source number 7. So what exactly happened in the story that Pinchas was so angry and he did this action? It says, Vayeshev Yisrael Bashitim, Vayachal Amles Nosal Venos Moav. So the Jewish people, they dwelled in Shittim, and they were seduced by Venos Moav. So the Moavi women were seducing the Jews. Vatikrenal Amles Zivchei Elohehen, Vayachal Amles Tachavu Lelohen. And then what they did was that they convinced the Jewish people, the Jewish men, to bring korbanos and also to bow down to their gods. Vayitzamid Yisrael leVaal Peor, vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael. And the Jews became attached to Baal Peor, which is avodah zarah, and Hashem got angry at Klal Yisrael. So in the story of Pinchas, I think we're putting the pieces together a little bit, but in the story of Pinchas, the flaw of the Jewish people wasn't necessarily being with the women of Moab, and also Midian ends up getting involved later on. But it was really the avodah zarah. So now it kind of makes sense. Pinchas, so avodah zarah, let's just put all the pieces together. Avodah zarah is something that warrants kinah on the part of God. And we see that the word kinah is only used by avodah zarah, according to the Ramban and the Rambam. And instead of God's kinah being expressed, Pinchas was expressing kinah HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the place of God. So he was really expressing, through his act, midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have to understand what exactly that was. And perhaps we can understand the perfection of Pinchas. But I think it's coming together a little bit in the sense that we can see what Pinchas did. That really what was warranted was a certain midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu being expressed through the Hashgacha. That divine intervention would express kel kana, the idea of God being a mekane. But instead of God doing it, Pinchas was able to do it. And let's see what that is. Well, let's try to explain it. So one last point before we get to the first svara. Look in source number 8. It says, "Vayishtachavu le'lohehen kishitakef yitzra aleha v'omer lo hashmi'i li v'hi motzia lo demus po'or mecheka v'omeris lo yishtachavu le'zeh." So the way that it worked was that the women would seduce the men, and then they had this. They would have the idol on a necklace, and they would take it out when they knew that the men were putty in their hands, and they would ask them to bow down to the idols. So that's how they seduced Klal Yisrael, but Klal Yisrael's main avera here was avodah zarah. So what exactly, or can we explain the idea of kina? And according to Rashi, I'm just mainly going to focus on Rashi, and get some greater insight into what exactly the perfection of Pinchas was. So the Rashi, so let's go back. So Rashi says, what is kena before? The first Rashi says it's nokem. It's to be, it's to get, to bring about vengeance for God. Bring about vengeance for Hashem. Go back to source number two. If you don't believe me, he says, benukmos nikmasi. So you're giving, you're bringing about vengeance for me. So what exactly is vengeance? So I thought that it might be a good idea to go back to the classic Rambam's on the idea of nekama and the isser of nekama by a Jew to another Jew. And maybe if we understand why it's usser to be a nokem between us and others, we can understand the idea of nikmas Hashem and how it's different, and have greater, again, greater analysis of what was going on. So let's look at nekama from the Rambam. Look in source number 9. It's Hilchos Deos Halacha Zayin. So Hanokim es Chavero, over below Sase. So a person who takes vengeance on their friend is over an Isser. Shneam Arlo Sikom. It says in the Torah that you should not take vengeance. The Afal Pisha Eino Loke Deara Hi Amod. So you don't get Malchus, but nevertheless, it's a really bad personality trait. Ela Roy Lo Adam Lios Mavir Al Kol Divrei Olam Shakol Itzel Hamavinim Divrei Hevel VaHavai. So basically a person should realize that anything that happens to them is really not that important. It's not something significant enough that you should feel so angry that you should take nekama. And if you realize that, if you realize that things are just not that important and you have a certain perspective of the world, then you won't have a desire to take nekama. So what is nekama? Ketzad hi anekima, amar lo chavero hishilani kardumcha. So nekama, the case, the classic case, is if your friend said, or Amar lo chaver, your friend said, Hishilani kardumcha, let me borrow your axe. Amar lo, eini mashilcha. So you say to him, I'm not going to give you. Lamachar tzarech lishol mimenu. But then the next day, the guy who refused wants to ask from him, Amar lo, hishilani kardumcha. So he says, can I borrow your axe? Amar lo, eini mashilcha. And then he responds, no, I'm not going to. Kederech shelo hishaltani kishisha'alti mimcha. So the same way that you didn't give it to me, I'm not going to give it to you, and that's nekama. Hareza nokim, that is nekama. Ela kishiyavo lishol, yitin v'leiv shalem, v'lo yigmol kasher gamolo. So what should happen? So what should happen is that even though somebody refused to give you something, you should give it to them. And you shouldn't care about the fact that they refused to give it to you, and you shouldn't think that you should give back to them, or you should repay them, or punish them for what they did to you. David b'deosav atovos im gomalti shol meira. So David says that he was gomel to those who did bad to him. So he did kindness to those who were negative to him, meaning that he was expressing the fact that he wasn't a vengeant person. He didn't take revenge against those who harmed him. But what is the framework of revenge and why is it usser? So the Rambam says that the framework of revenge is basically somebody did something bad to you, and revenge means that you're kind of repaying them for what they did to you. You're paying them back. You're punishing them for what they did to you. And he says that, why is it an imperfection? What's the flaw? The flaw is that you should realize that whatever's done to you is not really that important. It's not something to get angry about that you would want to take revenge for, because he says everything is hevel v'havai. So that is the Rambam's framework of nekama. But yet, we see in the Torah that God expresses nekama. So there is a reality, there is a good to nekama in the framework of Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but when it comes to a person, man to man, or woman to woman, so it's usser, you're not allowed to take revenge. And he seems to be giving a reason, which we'll get into a little bit more. And then let's keep going on in the Rambam. V'chein kol anotar lecha Yisrael. And then furthermore, there's another isser called Netira, and over below Sase. You're over an isser there too. Shneamar v'lo sitar es b'nei amecha, ketzad. So what is Netira as opposed to Nekima? Reuven sh'amar l'Shimon, schor li b'yizeh, o hishilani shor zeh. So let's say Reuven says to Shimon, can you rent me this house, or can you lend me your shore? V'lo ratza Shimon, Shimon says no. L'yamim tzarach Shimon l'Reuven, l'shol mimenu o l'schor. So then Shimon goes to Reuven because he needs to borrow something. V'amar lo Reuven, yehe lach, harini mashilcha v'eini kemoscha. So Reuven says back to him, I'm not like you. I'm going to lend it to you. So he sticks it in his face that he's a better person. And I'm not going to do what you did to me. So if you do that, then you're over lo sitor.
Torah al
Achi mochi avon melibo kla. So you should just forget about it and just let it go. V'lo yizkarenu, and try not to remember it. V'zuhi adea nechono shefsher shiskayim ba yishuva aret u'masan u'matanan shalivne adam zeim zeh. So this is a great way to live. You don't want people taking vengeance on another person or holding back from them or showing them that they're better than them. So these are all bad ways to live. But anyways, back to the main point. So the Rambam says that it's usur to be a nokim. But yet, in this situation, it was good. Pinchas was a nokim for God. So what exactly is the isur nekima? And can we understand why it was appropriate for Pinchas to be a nokim? And again, what was going on over there? So the Rambam says...
And then we'll
yeah, go ahead.
Rabbi Hitler.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit lost.
Okay.
What's the difference between nekama and mishpah? If you do something wrong and you violate an isur Torah, so you get punished for it.
Right.
So I'm not following. What's the difference between nekama and mishpah?
So I'll get to that. I'll explain to it. You mean from the framework of God? You mean...
Right. Yeah,
yeah. I'm going to explain that.
Did something wrong.
Yeah.
Why are you now calling in the comma?
Yeah, yeah. So
you can't worship Avodah Zarah, and the plain Pesha, you can't worship Avodah Zarah.
Right. So yeah. So let me just try to explain that. So, yeah, I'll get to that.
It seems like a little chutzpah that Pinchas jumps in there, you know what I mean? Let God take care of it.
Right, right.
He took care of Korach, and he took
right.
care of Dasan and Miram. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm not following.
So let me try to explain it. Let me just do one more Rambam, and then I'll get to that, hopefully. Hopefully that'll be clear in the idea, the svar that I'm going to give over. But good question, yeah. Okay, so let's just move on to this. So the question is, what exactly is the flaw by a nekima, by a human, from one person to another, in the human framework, in the human realm? And then if we understand it, maybe we can understand why it's appropriate for God to take nekama and what Pinchas was doing and how it's different than what we do or what we want or we think is nekama. So the Rambam, just a classic Rambam, but I think he answers it. The Rambam in source number 10, he says, he doesn't explain it on nekama, but he says there's a yesh deos she'asur lo adam menog bahen bebeinanis, excuse me. So there are deos that a person has to go to an extreme. Elis rachik ada katza ha'acher. So you can't be in the middle. You have to go to an extreme. V'hu gova ha'lev. Shein derech ha'tov ishi adam anav bilvad. El she shva ruach. So the areas where a person has to go to the extreme are ego. And he says, v'tzia rucho nemucha l'ma'od. And you have to be very lowly. L'fichach nemar Moshe Rabbeinu anav me'od. V'lo nemar anav bilvad. So the Rambam talks about how a person is supposed to go about his ego, and you're supposed to suppress your ego as much as possible because that is really the way of perfection. And you see that by Moshe, that Moshe wasn't just an anav, but he was an anav me'od. So the question is, why am I bringing this in? So I think that this relates back to the idea of nekama, that really, what is the proper perspective the Rambam says a person should take? The Rambam should take a perspective whereby things just aren't that important, that you should recognize that if somebody wronged you, it's not a reason to take revenge. But that stems from, I think, that stems from ego, that if a person has a misconception of yourself and your self-importance, then if somebody wrongs you, you're going to feel like, you know, that they deserve it. They deserve to be repunished. But if you don't have this haughty nature, so then if somebody wrongs you, you'll forget about it. It won't bother you as much. You'll realize that it's not that important. So really, I think that it's a reflection of man's anivus, of a person's anivus, that they shouldn't want to, or there should be no need for nekama. So one of the issues with nekama, or one of the flaws of nekama, stems from man's ego, that if a person is nokim, it's just a reflection of a certain ego, of a certain belief that you're important, and what happens to you deserves repayment or punishment in the negative. And that's really the flaw that the Rambam says a person has to go to the extreme about, to the extreme regarding. But there's also another flaw in nekama, which I think I heard from, I think it was Rabbi Chait, but I'm not sure, so I don't want to misquote it. But I think another idea that I heard about nekama is that the problem in man's framework is that it's impossible to really mete out justice perfectly because everyone's affected by things differently. And you might be affected more when somebody wrongs you or doesn't lend you their axe. That what you think is perfect justice might not be perfect justice. When you say back to them, I'm not going to lend you my axe, so maybe that affects them more or worse. So you really aren't capable of really meting out justice in the most perfect way. And therefore, so there's two flaws. One is that a person, A, shouldn't have this need to take revenge, because if you really are a Shva Ruach, you wouldn't want to take revenge, or you wouldn't feel like it's necessary to take revenge. But the other flaw is that in the human realm, it's impossible for us to mete out justice in the perfect way, because really, really something that affects us in one way might affect somebody else in a different way. So we really can't mete it out, even though we think that we're being just, but it's not necessarily perfect justice. I think Rabbi Cheat said that, but I'm not 100% positive. But it makes sense anyways, regardless. So now with that, maybe we can understand Pinchas. So the idea of nekama from God is qualitatively distinct from the idea of humanity. So by humanity, nekama is a flaw because it reflects an ego, like the wrong perception of yourself or a misperception of yourself. And also the justice is lacking. But when God's nokim, so there's two ideas. One is God and you are human. So God is the reality. He is the perfect existence. And therefore, it's not like the human flaw where a person shouldn't be egocentric. God is the perfected. He's the perfect existence. And I can't say more. But really, it's worthy. The same idea doesn't fit with regard to God. And furthermore, with regard to justice, God is able to mete out justice perfectly because he knows humanity, and he knows what justice humans deserve, because he's omniscient. So really, nekama is a perfection when it comes to God, but it's an imperfection when it comes to man. And so the question is, so what exactly was Pinchas doing? So I think that we're coming to the idea, the concept, which is that really, in this instance, the midah of nekama was really supposed to be expressed, and it's a midah of a certain type, not the nekama of humanity, but it's a nekama of God. It's a nekama of midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu that reflects the idea of the realness, the reality of God's existence, and also the idea of perfect justice. But so that was really warranted in this situation, and it was warranted because of Avodah Zarah, because it was a situation of Avodah Zarah. So what exactly did Pinchas do? So Pinchas, it seems like Pinchas's act reflected the same concept of Nikmas Hashem, of the Midah of Nekama, in the sense that he was taking justice. It's an affront to God. So I think this answers Leslie's question. So really, the difference between Avodah Zarah and a regular Isser is that it's more similar to a human situation of Nekama, where there's an affront, where you feel like there's an affront to you. So even though God isn't affronted, but the appearance and the idea of Avodah Zarah, it reflects an affront to God. It's like you're really in his face. You're saying, I don't believe in you, you're nothing. So you can't really say that about all the other Isurim. But the idea is that in this situation, Midas Nekama was supposed to be expressed, or could have been expressed, from God. And instead, Pinchas's act was able to reflect the same concepts that would have been reflected had Hashgacha been expressed by God through Kinah. So that's how Pinchas protected the Jewish people. He protected the Jewish people by expressing Kinas Hashem, by expressing the idea of Nikmas Hashem, as opposed to, if it was Nikmas Adam, so that's an imperfection, but Nikmas Hashem is a perfection. So Pinchas was able to express Midas Kinah of Kel Kana in place of God. So it's almost, so to speak, like he took over, and the Midah of Kinah was not necessary to be actually emphasized and actually executed through Hashgacha, because it was reflected in Pinchas's action. So again, the idea of Kinah is really the key idea in Pinchas's greatness, which is that if, according to Rashi, and that's why that's why Rashi is not such a contradiction also, because Rashi says Nekama, and then later on he says Nosein Lev Lipara. So he pays attention in repaying and punishing, and the Ramban says that it's the opposite of Chanan V'Rachum. The Ramban says also, in a similar vein, Kinah Nifra Me'Avodah Zarah V'Al Nichanan V'Rachum Medvarim Achirim. So the idea of justice when it comes to Vodazara is absolute. It's complete destruction. So Pinchas was expressing the appropriate justice that would have been expressed from God. And also, he's doing it for God. He's Bekano as Kinasi. He's reflecting the reality of God, that any affront to God by doing a Vodazara demands vengeance. It demands destruction. So the concept, again, is that Pinchas saved, or at least saved the Kina by expressing Kina, by expressing Midas Kina. And Kina is similar to Nekama, but I was just trying to show you the difference between Nikmas Hashem and Nikmas Adam. So in the sense that Nikmas Hashem is really, again, reflection of the uniqueness and the reality of God, as opposed to a human being where we should just let things roll off of us. So by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to an affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you recognize the greatness and the perfection of God, so then it definitely deserves vengeance. Yeah, if something happens to us, we shouldn't take revenge because we're nothing. But if something happens to God, or if it's an affront to God, so certainly it's deserving of vengeance. So that's where the real Nekama is actually appropriate. And then when it comes to justice, we can't mete out justice, but God's framework of Avodah Zarah, justice is outright, it's destruction. And Pinchas was able to express the same Midah through this action of killing Cosby and Zimri and Cosby. So I think that's what the idea is, and that's what I'm going with. So are there any questions on that concept? Any questions? Did that answer your question? Rabbi,
So the regular case of Avodah Zarah.
Yeah.
That's over Avodah Zarah.
Yeah.
We don't say anything about Kin or anything. We punish him because it's Mishpat, right?
Yeah.
But he, same action.
Well, there's a difference between. Yeah, there's a difference between our Mishpat, meaning human Mishpat, and God. So I'm talking about in the framework of God and Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Avodah Zarah. I'm not talking about human Mishpat. So yeah, our Mishpat is that in the human framework, if you do Avodah Zarah and there's Asra, and then you kill the guy in Beis Din, but that's not Kina. Kina is an expression of Nekama from God. So that's what it is. So it's a different idea. So basically what I'm saying is that Pinchas was expressing the same Midah, the same characteristic of Nekama, of Nikmas Hashem, through his act. And that's why he was granted this great reward, and that's why he protected Klal Yisrael, because there was no need for God to reflect this Nekama. This Midas of Nekama was not needed anymore, because Pinchas reflected it in his actions, in his action. So that's the concept. And it makes sense, based on everything we said, that Kina is really an idea of Avodah Zarah, and the Jews were doing Avodah Zarah back then, and that's why Pinchas acted. Also, the idea of justice for an Ovid Avodah Zarah is destruction. And it's not through, like, the court system. It's destruction from God. So the idea of, and also the concept that by humans, we should let things roll off of us. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is an idea of recognizing the reality of Hashem, his greatness, and that he's not like us. That if there's an affront to him, it demands punishment. It demands revenge. Okay, so just one more point. I just want to kind of finish up the shiur with, there is a popular idea of revenge in this situation. In Bamidbar, a little bit later on, in 11, source number 11, it says, "Vaydeber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Nekom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael Me'isam Edonim Achar Te'asif Elamecha." So you see that. So it says, the pasuk says that you should have to take revenge for what the Midyanim did. This is by the story of Pinchas, and then afterwards you'll die. And then Moshe tells the people that they should get ready for war and battle Midian. So we see that Nekama, the Midas Nekama, is really appropriate in the story of Midian. And not only was it reflected through Pinchas' action, which was Nikmas Hashem. Again, it's not Nikmas Adam, it's Nikmas Hashem. But later on, Hashem commands that the Nekama be fulfilled completely in the destruction of Midian. If you look at Rashi, he says, Me'esa Midyanim, velo me'esa Mo'avim. So why not the Mo'avim? Because if you looked in the beginning of the story, it was the Mo'avi women that first seduced the Jews. Sha'mo'avim nifnesu l'davar machmas yira, sha'yireya mehem sha'yisrael sholem osam. So the reason is because the Mo'avim, they really got involved because they were scared that the Jews were going to conquer them and take their stuff. Shelo ne'amar ela al tiskar ba milchama aval midyanim nis'abru ariv lo lahem. So there's no, you're allowed to plummet, or you can pummel and take the stuff from Moav, and they were scared. So they devised this plan with the help of Bilam, and they decided to seduce the Jews to do Avodah Zarah. But really, the Minyanim, they had no interest. It wasn't their fight, and they just got involved in the fight. So the Minyanim were really, they were really motivated by a hatred of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by a hatred of the Jewish people per se, not by any fear that they had. And therefore, Nekama was really, because that's a pure affront. That's the point. It was a pure affront on the part of Midian. By Moab, they were just scared, and they were operating out of fear. But by Midian, they were doing it because of a hatred of Hashem and a hatred of Klal Yisrael. And that was really the idea of Nekama and Midas Nekama being expressed in this story. So not only do we see Nekama, Nikmas Hashem, being reflected in Pinchas' action, but later on, the Nekama has to be fulfilled, or I guess it has to be completed in the destruction of Midian. But if you look in the Medrash Rab over there, it says, Nikom Nikmas B'nei Yishol Meisam B'dinim Achar Tiasif El Mecha, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yidlo Yerotzen Moshe L'chios Kamashanim Hayachai. So Moshe could have lived longer if he wanted to. Shomer Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikom B'achar Tiasif. So Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, that take vengeance, and then after you destroy Midian, the Klal Yisrael, then you'll die. Tala kasa misaso b'Midian. So the misa of Moshe was tied back to Midian. El lohdiacha shifcha shal Moshe. So to teach you the greatness of Moshe, praise Moshe. Amar b'shvil she'echya ya'akev nikmas Yisrael. So that I live, we're going to slow down the nekama of Yisrael for Yisrael. Miyad v'yidaber Moshe lo'am le'imor hechatsu me'itchem anashim ha'tzava. Anashim tzadikim lohalon b'char lanu anashim v'chein b'ful tardima l'anashim. So the over here by the Nekama, the Midas Nekama of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was commanding Klal Yisrael to finalize. So it says in the Pesukim that Moshe Rabbeinu, he was given an option of living longer. Like he could, or not an option, but Hashem says that after you destroy Midian, then you'll die. So he could have said, you know, he could have slowed it down. But really, it says that he wanted to see Nikmas Yisrael on Midian, and he said, is it really right for me to slow them down so that Nikmas Yisrael, or to prevent Nikama or Nikmas Yisrael from being fulfilled? So I just wanted to finish off this year with the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu, you see that he appreciated the idea, the concept of Nikama for God, that he really appreciated the concept of this Midah of Nikama, of Nikmas Hashem, Nikama for God, and how it was unique. And to the point where it shows you that he was able to put his personal emotions aside, you know, idea of dying and living longer, in order to appreciate this Midah of Nekama, this idea of Nekama that was really going to be expressed and fulfilled through Klal Yisrael's destruction of Midian. So you see, again, so the main takeaway from this point is that Nekama seems to be a very strong feature and a strong theme in this whole story of Pinchas. And not only is it expressed through Pinchas' action, because Pinchas was able to reflect Nikmas Hashem, the Midah of Nekama, Nikmas Hashem, but also we see that Moshe appreciated the Nekama and the need for Nekama in this situation against the Midianim, to the point where he even put his personal emotions aside and his personal, perhaps, desire to live longer aside, in order that, not only for Klal Yisrael, but in order to witness the fulfillment of Nikmas Hashem, the fulfillment of vengeance for Hashem on the part of, or for, in order to destroy Midian. So we're going to skip the last medrash, but I just wanted to finish the shiur with that concept. So let me just put everything together, which I think I just did, but we'll do it again. Why not? So really the questions, and then feel free to ask any questions at any point, but let me just summarize. And then, so just to summarize, the main question that I had in the beginning of the shiur, which was from the parsha, the early part of the parsha, the very beginning, is what was Pinchas' real perfection? It seems like the Torah keeps saying that he was mekane, that he was acting with kina for God, because it says bekano as kinasi and tachas asher kine le'lokav. So, and it says that he protected Klal Yisrael from the real kina. So what exactly is kina? So Rashi says that it's really nekama, it's vengeance. But we saw, based on the Ibn Ezra, that Rashi says later on that it's not, he doesn't say vengeance, he says that it's being exact in justice and punishment, that God was nosein levli para, that he was like attentive to the punishment. And he made sure to punish. He made sure it was, there was no, nothing passed, nothing getting by him. So you know, not in the literal sense. So the idea was that he was paying attention to punish. And the Rabban says something interesting, that kina is really only expressed by avodah zarah, and it's the antithesis or the absence of chanan v'rachum. He says that with avodah zarah, Hashem is mekane, but in other averos, Hashem has rachum v'chanan. He has these midos of mercy and compassion. So what exactly was Pinchas's greatness? And then we spoke about how avodah zarah manifested itself in this whole sin. It wasn't just about being with women, but it was also the avodah zarah that took place with regard to Midyan, Moav and Midyan. So what exactly is going on here? So I wanted to use the Rambam. The Rambam highlights that there is an Isser Nekama from man to man or woman to woman, and the Isser is tied to the concept that you should really let things go, that really you shouldn't hold on to things, you shouldn't take things too seriously. Everything is hevel v'havai, and if you have that perception and perspective, then you won't have a need to take vengeance. And that comes from a certain perspective, a certain viewpoint of your own self and how important you are. Because if you take yourself too important, if you feel like you're too valuable, too important, then you know, you'll take things seriously. But if you realize that, you know, your ego is really driving you, and that if you're an unav, if you're humble, then it won't bother you as much. So we see that there's, and then I mentioned one other point, that the other imperfection of nekama is that it's impossible to mete out justice perfectly. So these are the flaws and the problems with a person taking nekama for themselves. But what about for God? So for God, it's the opposite. You don't have these flaws. In fact, you have the opposite, that when you take nekama for God, nekama reflects the importance of God, the reality of God, as opposed to human. And also, the justice with regard to avodah zarah, the Rambam says is, or the Ramban says, is absolute. So we know what the justice is. We know what's deserving. So the chiddush over there by Pinchas is that Pinchas was able to reflect the midah of nekmas Hashem, of nekama, without God actually using or using the hashgacha to demonstrate it. And his action alone saved Klal Yisrael, because there was a need at that point to see nekama, to see nekmas Hashem, and it would have been done in a much harsher way if not for Pinchas stepping in and really being able to express that idea through his action. And then finally, the last point in the shir is that nekama seems to be a feature that is tied to Midyan, and we see that Hashem demands that the Jewish people destroy Midyan in order to finalize the nekama. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he even foregoes an extension of his life in order to witness it, because he appreciated this idea. He appreciated the distinction between Nikmas Adam and Nikmas Hashem, and to see it and to witness it was really something that he put before his own personal emotions, his own personal desire to live longer. So the key, again, is the idea of nekama, of revenge, and how it is expressed in the framework of God in a perfect way, but in the framework of humans in a flawed manner. So that's really the end of the shir. So any questions?